always seems to get involved, doesn't he?
I'm telling you, too many coconuts have hit him right on top of the skull.
Well, I think Anthony will be a great acquisition. He can do it all.
Avery, whose show is this?
Good morning and welcome everybody here to the Lakers Lowdown Podcast, a part of this here Lakers Lounge Podcast Network. I'm Anthony Irwin, Senior Lakers Insider, as well as lead Lakers content creator for Offside, joined on this fine, whatever day it is that you guys are watching this. I think this is probably going to drop on a Monday, by nobody. I am on vacation right now. As you guys are listening to this, I might be in a pool. Oh, actually, if it's dropping on Monday, I am at Disneyland right now with my family looking for Rob Pelinka to ask him if there is any kind of update on the Jonathan Kuminga front. Also, would be absolutely incredible if the Kuminga news drops while I am at Disneyland. That would be the best outcome of this summer. But today on the show, or in this episode, we're going to be talking about Austin Reeves. We've already dropped a Luka Doncic player preview. If you haven't checked it out, I hope you guys do. This one will be about Austin Reeves and the steps forward that the Lakers need him to make this year and whether I think he is capable of them. Other player previews to come. I'm recording a Walker Kessler one after I record this one. And I don't know if I'm going to do another player specific one, but I do want to do kind of like a look at the team's identity, either that or the rules that I would like to see the Lakers abide with their rotation, combinations of players that intrigue me, all of that good stuff. So that'll be the couple more evergreen episodes that I'll be dropping while I'm on vacation. And then I am back in Texas, probably Thursday would be my first live episode back at home, here at home. As always, though, like even while I'm on vacation, the plan is still going to be going live. If we get any kind of breaking news, I'll have my mic with me, I'll have my laptop with me, and we'll go live to discuss any of that stuff. But as it stands right now, we're going to get by with these player previews for the next few days. And then I'll get back home and we'll continue with some of the player previews and stuff like that. I'll just do those with guests live with comment sections and all that stuff. I miss the chat. You guys are awesome. I can't wait to get back to recording with you guys. So please hit that like button. Please hit that subscribe button. Please turn on notifications for the show as well as for YouTube so you get the notifications for the show. Please subscribe wherever it is that you get your podcasts. And today's show is brought to you in video form by Prize Picks. Use that promo code HMA, win your first selection, and get $150 of Prize Picks lineups on Prize Picks. Again, winning a $5 selection, any $5 selection, and you get $150, that's incredible. All right, let's go ahead and dive on in to the season that Austin Reeves needs to have. First and foremost, the biggest takeaway that I have from this summer is that Austin, by way of signing the contract that he signed, just went from cool story, really fun outcome to his career so far, relatively lowered expectations, to now it's like, the Lakers are expecting him to be, by way of that contract, the second best player on a championship team. Now, maybe eventually he gets surpassed by Walker Kessler, just in terms of overall impact because of the type of defense that Kessler has to play. Maybe the Lakers acquire a player who slots in between Luka and Austin. But as it stands right now, with the way that this roster is put together, and given the championship expectations that you carry, no matter what season and no matter what roster Luka Doncic is playing on, they are still expected to compete for championships. When you have a player of Luka's talent level in his prime, that means Austin has to be a championship level player. That means he has to carry the offense when Luka isn't out there. That means, and this is one of my, you know, kind of biggest questions, facing Austin this season. And honestly, one of my biggest questions facing anybody this season is, Austin, are you going to help Luka get better? You know, one of the conversations I had off the air in Vegas, and then I think we talked about it briefly on the air as well, was how most second best players on championship caliber teams make the best player on the team better. They compound their strengths. They make up for some of their gaps. And as it stands right now, with the Luka Austin combination, if I was to ask you, hey, how does Austin make Luka better? What would you say? What would you point to? He's a secondary creator. That means that he is creating when Luka doesn't have the ball. He is, not the kind of defender who you would say, hey, go get that guy and make Luka's life easier that way. As nice as Austin's shot looks, he's not the caliber of shooter who you would say makes Luka's life easier. You can't really run pick and rolls with Luka and Austin in the way you can with, say, Kessler or even LeBron last year, right? The complicating factor here between Austin and Luka is that as it stands right now, there just aren't very many ways that Austin makes Luka better. Now, he does pick up the slack, and he will run the offense with second units and stuff like that. They will be staggered, so Austin might make Luka's life easier on him by taking advantage of some of those second units. But when the two of them are on the court together, there just aren't very many gaps in Luka's game that Austin steps up and fills. And so that means that, what Austin is going to have to do is like figure out ways to do that. And it honestly, we'll talk about it in a little bit down below, but it starts with his catch and shoot ability. And it starts with knocking down and being automatic on some of those open shots that Luka creates and vice versa, as well. First and foremost, my biggest takeaway from Austin's offseason, which, congratulations on the new deal. As I've said before, I really root hard for Austin and his camp. But those days of him just being a cute story or a fun story, they are over. And now it's like, hey, given the amount of money that Austin is making, you'd better actually make or get close to making all-star teams, all NBA teams, stuff like that. And, maybe he will, maybe he won't. Let's address what his ceiling might be in the next segment. So what is Austin's ceiling? Well, last year, at the beginning of the season, before he got hurt, remember, Austin only played in 51 games last year. That's going to have to greatly increase this season. But at the beginning of the season, Austin was not just getting all-star praise. He was getting all NBA buzz. He was incredible. 25 plus points per game, 5 and 5 in terms of rebounds and assists per game, 5 or more in both of those fronts, shooting the ball well, getting to the free throw line, defending at an okay level. He was incredible. And by the way, for the most part in the regular season, in those stretches where Austin is asked to carry a little bit more of the offense, he tends to do just fine. So with LeBron gone, Austin is going to be stepping into a role where he has to carry a much bigger chunk of the offense. And we will see if he scales up, right? Like, this is always, anytime you see a player, and over the course of Austin's career, he succeeded in small windows and the Lakers were like, what if we expand that window? And then he succeeded
in a larger role, and the Lakers were like, what if we promote him? And then he exceeded expectations in that larger role, and he kept on doing it all the way up to where now he is making max level money, 25% max, but still max level money. So every other time that he has been challenged to do what the Lakers are going to be challenging him to do again next season, he has met that challenge, at least in the regular season. And now, like, this is a significantly bigger step than any of the other steps that the Lakers asked him to make. There are significantly greater stakes to him leveling up in the way that he has in previous seasons. And we'll see if he's able to do it. I think he'll be an all-star next year, or, you know, I actually think that the Lakers are going to be a good regular season team. Based on the traffic on my show and the other shows in the Lakers podcast sphere that I've noticed, traffic is way up with Lakers fans here. And I think a lot of Lakers fans are going to be very intrigued by next year's team. And if the Lakers are as good as I think they are going to be next season, I would expect, and this is one of those things that I've always over the years kind of charted, I would expect that all-star voting is going to represent that uptick in Lakers fan interest from the last few seasons team to this year's, this upcoming season's team. So that's going to be interesting to watch. I think Austin will be one of the bigger beneficiaries of that uptick just compared to his prior, level of vote getting before. And if the Lakers are good and he is the second best player on a team that looks like it probably should win its division, get home court in the first round, and then we'll see what happens in the postseason. I think Austin has, you know, the possibility to get enough all-star votes to get there on popularity. And then even if he doesn't, Austin is like really respected around the league. That was one of the things that I kind of took from this last offseason, is like with conversations that I've had throughout the league with scouts, with assistant coaches, with front office executives and stuff like that, and people like that. One of the lessons that I walked away from this summer was like how much respect Austin gets around the league for his ability to oscillate between various roles in the offense. And that flexibility, that ability, that malleability is something that coaches especially love. So I expect that Austin will get quite a bit of support for an all-star berth. And again, he would have gotten one last year had he not gotten hurt. Like I remember listening to podcasts, and I think probably the most important podcast for subjects where votes are tallied up is probably Zach Lowe's podcast. I was listening to Lowe talk about it, and he had Austin before he got hurt as an all-star. And usually that means like most overall ballots and balloting results, when they come back, pretty closely align to Zach Lowe's takes on stuff. So I would tend to think that, given that Austin showed at least for a little while last year, he was able to do it and get that kind of respect, I would expect Austin to get that kind of respect again next year in an expanded role with elevated expectations. Now, the next topic that we're going to talk about here is his defense and how much of the Lakers' playoff hopes are riding on that. That's a completely different conversation altogether. So as far as the defense goes, I said this in the Luka preview. I also would add to the last couple of segments too, before we dive into the defense, I would add to this that like, this is one of those years that Austin is going to be looked at as a leader as well. I was thinking about this while I was driving around the other day. One of the things that I'm low key really looking forward to next season is that the energy level that the Lakers play with over the last few years has always been directly tied to, not just closely, but directly tied to LeBron's energy and engagement level. And not saying this to knock LeBron, but last few years he was either nearing or at or in his 40s. And, you know, it's kind of difficult to ask your, you know, or the the team's best player in his 40s to set the tone in terms of energy and engagement. And one thing that I'm really looking forward to next year is Luka setting that energy and engagement level, Austin setting that energy and engagement level. Both of those guys, not just holding their teammates to account when it comes to energy and engagement, but also each other and critically themselves. So from a leadership standpoint, I think this is going to be something that Austin is really going to have to pick up some of the leadership that was left behind by LeBron. All right, now let's talk about his defense though. As I said with Luka, and I'll repeat it again here with Austin, I just want them to not be terrible. Can you do that? Like, is that okay? I want them to be, you know, their floor, I want that to be mediocre. And their ceiling, I mean, obviously I would love to have a higher ceiling with this, but I would prefer that, you know, they top out at above average and they bottom out at below or at average, at league average defensively. Just don't be terrible. I talked about this with Luka, and it's a little different with Austin. They're going to play a different style of defense. With Luka, he's going to spend a lot more time off of the ball. And with Luka, when I kind of described his defense, I talked about how I want him to just put himself in spots on the court that he knows the other team's offense needs to run through and gum up the offense that way, or the other team's offense that way. This, you know, with Austin is not how he's going to be able to get away with playing defense, unfortunately. Obviously, he and Grimes, depending on who the starting four might be, maybe it's Jake, maybe it's I know people were talking about Mamu as a potential starter. Maybe it's Kuminga, I don't know. Maybe Dybul, you know, starts a few games or plays some closing minutes as well. But as far as how things look right now, your primary point of attack defenders are going to be Austin and Quentin, and that being Quentin Grimes. And so, like, if that is going to be how they, you know, they introduce themselves to opposing offenses, that means Austin needs to be solid. Right. Don't get beaten off of the dribble with direct line drives to the basket that just completely cripple a defense. That is something that, like, Austin is typically pretty good at. I think he's usually pretty good at just kind of walling off those straight line paths to the basket. So that's not something I'm particularly worried about. Where Austin got into some trouble, especially in the postseason, was actually a design flaw where the Lakers were doing so much switching. Austin found himself as the low man on defense. And as we talked about with Tim, you know, a few weeks back, Austin in the playoffs became one of the highest volume rim defenders of the guys who played in the playoffs, which, if that is the case, your defense is going to be terrible. And Austin was not very good as a rim defender, as nobody would expect him to be. The other, you know, Austin is if the Lakers do switch the way that they did last year, and Austin finds himself that low in help defense, that means your defensive rebounding is going to suffer as well. So, like, as much as we'll talk about Austin, or as much as we are talking about Austin, the individual defender, this is also where JJ Redick and his coaching staff can do Austin a solid by not putting him in such brutal spots defensively that where, you know, Austin just doesn't have a chance. So this is, you know, the defense and stuff like that. Just be solid. Just be okay. Anything better than okay, where we start getting into above league average or maybe even pretty good, or God forbid, even good defensively, which I don't think he'll ever really be, but still, anything better than league average is playing with house money at that point. That allows you to get a few stops, get out and run a little bit. The Lakers offense, I'm hoping, is going to be overwhelming. Austin has to be a big part of that. And when you have an overwhelming offense and you force the other team to take the ball out of the rim as frequently as I'm hoping the Lakers do, that alleviates some pressure on your defense. And that maybe makes Austin go from league average to above league average. So from, you know, as far as defense goes in the regular season, Lakers should be mostly fine. Postseason, you know, where teams start picking on you, game planning for some of your weaknesses and stuff like that, I do have some concerns there. But overall, all I'm asking of Austin is just to be solid. Just be fine. Please. Please. All right. The next thing that I want to talk about is honestly the most critical basketball thing that Austin needs to excel at next year. And that is catching and shooting. I cannot stress this enough. If Austin isn't an elite or close to elite catch and shoot threat, the Lakers are in trouble. As it stands right now for his career on three-pointers, he shoots about 36, almost 37% from three-point range. And that's like fine. You know, it's below where I would like to see it. But it's okay. And it's okay if Austin is like a good defender, right? Like if you have like a good defender and he also shoots, hold on 1 second. If he also shoots, you know, 36% and he's a good defender, that's a very good role player. That's somebody that every basketball team, needs on its roster. Sorry. I'm just in the Discord. Somebody posted a link where apparently Mark Walter, who is at the center of a federal investigation, suffered a stroke in 2024. And since then, some have questioned his fitness to continue leading his financial empire. That is from the Wall Street Journal. Well, that'll be a topic for another day. But the as far as Austin, like, you know, this is something that he desperately and the Lakers desperately need him to be better at. That number needs to creep up over 38-39%. You know, Luka last year shot, I believe, about 38% on 10 threes per game. Last year, Austin shot 36% on only 6 threes per game. So both of those numbers are going to have to go up if the Lakers are going to be as overwhelming as they need to be offensively. Free throws were perfectly good last year. Like 7 attempts from Austin is a good number. Could always be higher, obviously, but that's a good number. Shot 87% on those free throws, which indicates to me that he should be a better three-point shooter. Now, this is where I'm going to nerd out a little bit as far as like shooting technique. Austin is a very one-handed jump shooter in that, and the ball goes way back here on the platter when he shoots it. And that helps get you a little bit of leverage. It makes you very good in the mid-range. Those one-handed jump shooters are very good in the mid-range, hence how good he is at the free throw line. But because, you know, because he's a one-handed free throw shooter, he has to put the ball that much further back on the platter, and, you know, so that he has enough leverage to get the ball far enough from deep. Now, one thing that you can do eventually, right, is get a little stronger in your shoulders, get a little stronger in your wrist, And that maybe allows that ball to you know, jump out of your hand a little bit more, make you more explosive as a shooter. But overall, like I think part of the reason that Austin, you know, isn't the same caliber of 3-point shooter that he is from the mid range is because of the technique and some strength, concerns as well. And, this is something that you get better at as you get older and as you get stronger and as you focus a little bit more on, you know, strength training and specified strength training. And in this case, I am hoping to God that Austin is really focusing hard on, you know, becoming the, you know, a strong enough to shoot 3-pointers at high volume, at high accuracy. Now, that is a balance that you have to take because the stronger that you get, the more muscle bound you get, right? You always think back to like Dwight Howard, how he like looked like he was just kind of shooting like this because he just couldn't like extend his arms, right? Like, obviously, I'm not asking Austin to come into next season looking like Dwight Howard, but get a little bit stronger, get a little stronger with your legs, a little stronger with your core, a little stronger in your back, and then also with that right wrist. And now all of a sudden, I think Austin has a better chance of becoming the catch and shoot threat that he needs to be. But look, if those numbers both don't go up, 7 attempts per game and 36% from deep last year, both those numbers need to jump up considerably. We're talking 2 or 3 percentage points and 2 or 3 attempts. If that happens, the Lakers offense is going to be humming. If it doesn't, well, that's where we get to the next kind of somewhat awkward conversation. So one of the topics that came up most frequently when I was there at Summer League talking to people and has continued to come up ever since is, what happens if this team isn't good enough? What avenues do the Lakers have to either pivot or improve or whatever if this team is further away from title contention after next year's playoffs than they need to be? And first round draft capital, not really an avenue that the Lakers can really go down. That isn't an asset that they can really kind of rely on. Second round draft capital, second verse, same as the first. Now they do have some somewhat intriguing younger players, right? Odu Thiro is an intriguing younger player if he can get and stay healthy. Cam Carr is somebody who a lot of coaches and scouts in the NBA really, really like his game, myself included. You know, you have, you know, maybe Bronny takes a step forward as a basketball player this next year. But like just from like a raw asset standpoint, flexibility standpoint in trades and stuff like that, the Lakers just don't have a ton to offer unless you include Austin in those trades. And one of the topics of conversation that I had a ton of discussions about was like, do we consider Austin's new contract movable? And for the most part, most people I spoke to said, yeah, I would say so. It's a 25% max on a player in his prime, a borderline all-star. Like that guy, Austin's contract is not going to, it's not going to become the negative asset that like Vando's contract has become. Nobody's particularly concerned on that front. So that's good. That's a good starting point. The other thing, and this is where what I brought up earlier plays an important role. The other thing that teams really like about Austin is that he has shown when AD and LeBron was there, he could be the third best player. When AD or when LeBron and Luka were there, he could be the third best player. When one of Luka or LeBron were out, he could carry, you know, a larger percentage of the offense as the team's second best player. For short stretches at a time. And then, you know, even in some games, right, he had damn near a 50-point triple-double when he was asked to carry all of the offense against Sacramento last year. And that really impressed him. So his ability to just kind of fit in no matter what type of team he is playing on is something that intrigues a lot of front office executives around the league. And so the reason I bring all of this up is if the Lakers aren't quite where they need to be, I do think Austin becomes the prime trade candidate that they would utilize to take a step forward next year. Now, I know that he is very close with Luka, and I know that, that is that friendship and that rapport that those two very quickly built together is something that like the Lakers would take into account, but they would also have to have a very honest conversation with Luka and be like, look, what are we here to do? Are we here to win? Are we here to win? Or are we here to make friends? Are we here to win? Or are we here to play the acoustic guitar? Like, what are we doing here? You know, and if the point is to win, and if the Lakers aren't where they need to be, you know, if they flame out early in the postseason or something like that, I do expect that there will be a lot of Austin Reeves trade rumors podcasts, that we wind up recording next summer. I don't think it would come up too much in, you know, at the deadline. I think that's too shortly after this team was put together. But if again, like, and by the way, I'm saying this, I don't want to say this. I would prefer that the Lakers have more assets so that they can build with Luka and with Austin, that they could acquire a player who slots in between those two guys. But as it stands right now, you know, there is just a lot of duplicity between Austin and Luka's game. I talked earlier in the show about how there just aren't too many ways that Austin fills gaps in Luka's games or makes Luka better. And if Austin, you know, doesn't take the big step forward that he needs to take as a shooter to help space the floor for Luka, because we know he's not going to like take some huge step forward defensively. The way that he can really improve next year is by way of that catch and shoot ability. And if he doesn't take that step forward and if the Lakers come up short, I think that he becomes the guy that most frequently is connected in some of these trades. So I hope it doesn't come to that. I hope that the Lakers are really, really good. And that at the end of the day or at the end of next season, they walk away from this first season of the, you know, proper Luka era, you know, saying, all right, how do we build on last year? Not, all right, how do we pivot from last year? And if they do have to pivot from this upcoming season, after this upcoming season, yeah, unfortunately, I think it's Austin would become the starting point of that pivot. So how do I see this playing out? I believe in Austin. I just do. Every time he's been asked to expand his game, carry more responsibility, you know, fit in with a different roster or a different team-wide identity, he has figured out a way to do it. And I continue to believe that he will do that again this upcoming season. Now, will he do so to such an extent that there is zero trade talk about him next year? Ooh. Man, that's tough. I would probably say no. I would probably say that the Lakers are a really good regular season team. Their win-loss total that I just saw the other day has jumped up to like 46.5 right now. I think they clear that fairly comfortably. I think they win their division. They get home court in the playoffs. I think they win their first round matchup. And then, you know, then at that point, you're facing potentially an OKC or a San Antonio or a Denver or a Minnesota. Some of these teams that Austin has kind of struggled against, especially in the playoffs. And if those struggles continue, I do expect that like Austin trade talk picks up in a big way next summer. But I think he's going to, like, over the course of this contract, I think he's going to live up to that contract comfortably in the regular season. I think that he will help the Lakers in a big way. I think he makes an all-star team this year. I don't think he squeezes onto an all-NBA team just because of how much Luka is going to have the ball in his hands this season. But I do think he does jump onto, or, you know, take that leap forward from really fun player, really intriguing player to bona fide all-star. I think that happens. I think he has a really good season, takes another step forward, and then we see how it goes in the playoffs, which, knock on wood, I guess. All right, that is going to do it here for this episode of the Lakers Lowdown Podcast, a part of the Lakers Lounge Podcast Network. Hope you guys are enjoying these player previews. If you haven't already, check out the Luka one. And until next time you guys hear from me, whether that be by way of another one of these previews or whether that be by way of some breaking news that I have to react to, have a great rest of your day. Make somebody else's, and I'll talk to you tomorrow.